Good morning. Boy, it's good to see everybody out this morning, especially to our home congregation. And if you're visiting and you sought us out, we appreciate your presence. We are going to be talking this morning about a subject that I think is necessary that we re-examine once in a while. We all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Why do we need Jesus is what we're going to be talking about this morning. The fall of man. You know, we all share in Adam and Eve's fall. We all sin. That's very clear in Scripture. It's very clear that we need a Savior. And hopefully by the end of this lesson, if you don't understand that you need Jesus, we hope that you understand it this morning. So, have you ever wondered how one could allow a moment of pleasure to destroy his or her life or their reputation? What causes one to indebt his own life to pay the high price of sin? What causes one to turn his back on God, his family, or his brethren? Genesis 3 will give us some insight to these questions. We're all familiar with Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 gives us a detailed account of how man was in a perfect relationship with God. He was not ashamed. Though he was naked, he was not ashamed. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. But we see how sin set the tone for his fall, especially Satan. So we know the story. I'm just going to summarize it really quick in a way that you may not have heard. But man heard a lie. Man believed a lie. And then man obeyed a lie. This enacted punishment and a need for salvation. And that's what we're going to be talking about. So that meant that man needed to hear the truth, believe the truth, and obey the truth. Doesn't that sound familiar? The Bible is a book about sin. We don't really think of it in that way. We look at the Bible, it's a beautiful book. It's about salvation. But you know what? It's really about sin. It's about that sin problem that man has, which separated him from God. You realize when Adam and Eve sinned, God drove them out of the garden, drove them out of that perfect place. There was a separation. Therefore, it required reconciliation. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 sets forth man in his innocence. The remaining 1,187 chapters depict a man as a sinner. And as one who is in need of grace, the salvation that can only be found in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Salvation is found in only one place, and that is in Christ. I want us to go back in our minds to the Garden of Eden at the time where sin first entered the world and notice some very important points that will help us in our daily Christian walk. Number one, Satan attacks God's word. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Satan appeals to Eve's trust and her pride. See, Eve didn't fully trust in God because God gave her a command, but she didn't trust that. She wanted to go out on her own. Sometimes we find ourselves in a similar situation. Satan is trying to get Eve to doubt that God really means what he says. We are surrounded by people in this world, and sometimes we can fall into that trap. Do we realize that God really means what he says? Sometimes we don't fully comprehend that principle. Satan seems to be saying, did God really say this? Surely not. That wasn't what God meant to say. When God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you must have misunderstood. So Satan is cunning. He is deceitful. It may be that Satan was just ridiculing God's word. In essence, that's what he's good at. There was no misunderstanding about it. God gave the command in simple and plain terms. Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17, it's simple. He said, you shall not eat. You shall not eat. Eve even repeated the command verbally in Genesis chapter 3, 2 and 3. This is exactly what Satan and his followers are trying to do to people today. Doubt God's word. For example, Mark chapter 16, 16. 16, 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What does most of the world say? That's not what it means. That's exactly what Satan done with God's word. Let God be true, but every man be a liar. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Don't allow Satan to trick you into thinking that God doesn't really mean what he says. When God says something, God means it. The words that Jesus spoke will judge us in the last day. A side note, you will notice in this verse that Satan comes in a disguise. Because Eve felt no alarm. She wasn't worried about the conversation. She felt no alarm. Satan doesn't come with a wailing siren. He disguises his purpose. His purpose is to devour mankind. Remember the scripture? Satan is like what? A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants us to lose our soul. Satan lies. Genesis chapter 3, 5, or 2 through 5, especially verse 4. He is a deceptive liar. John 8, 44, Satan is a liar. This is the words of Jesus. He's a liar. He's a murderer. And he is truthless. He's truthless. Satan lied to Eve and she believed him. She believed him instead of the Creator. Are we often guilty of that ourselves? These things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. So here is God teaching us still today in Genesis chapter 3. Satan is still lying today. A great multitude of people are still believing his lies. Notice that in Satan's lie to Eve, he added only one little word. God said they would die. Satan said they would not surely die. Today, a good example of Satan lying and changing one little word is seen in James chapter 2, verse 24. James chapter 2, verse 24 reads, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. This is what the scripture says. You see then that man is justified by works and not by faith only. Satan has deceived man again. Listen to what man will say about this verse. Man's justification is by faith alone with zero works. Let's Let's think about that. That's what man says. God's commandments are necessary. We see that principle set forth in the garden. Man's faith, or man fails to understand that works of righteousness are of the commandments of God. Works of merit are works contrived by man. That's different. That's how people will twist the scriptures to tickle their own ears. So we know that faith without works is dead. This is how Satan works on us today, through deception. Satan tricks Eve into focusing on one tree, the forbidden one, and to forget about all the other trees. They had everything they need. Adam and Eve had everything that they need. It was a perfect place. But what? They focused on the one tree. She focused in what she couldn't have rather than what God had provided. Don't we often do that? Sometimes we're just never satisfied. We want what we don't have. That can get us in trouble. Today, some focus on a moment of pleasure and forget about other blessings. Satan shifts our focus. We become distracted. The avenues of temptation, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Eve saw that it was good for food, that is, the lust of the flesh. Eve noticed that it was pleasant to the eyes, that is, the lust of the eye. Eve concluded it would be something to make one wise, that is, the pride of life. Those are the things that Scripture warns us not to do. There are some avenues that Satan used to tempt Jesus in the very same way. God does not cause us to sin. God does not cause us to sin. We sin when we give in to our own lust. Turn to James chapter 1, 13-15. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So there again, God does not cause us to sin. We make a choice to sin. Satan sets these avenues before us constantly. We live in a world that everything before us can be a temptation if we let it. That's why we stress getting up of a morning, praying to God to help us, reading His holy word, putting those things in our heart, learn to practice those things. You know, Adam was with Eve and didn't try to stop her. She gave in to her husband with her. Notice that. Her husband with her. He was with her. It seems that Adam may have been right there beside Eve when she was tempted. Guess what Adam did? He kept silent. Adam kept silent. He made a serious mistake. He shared in the guilt. Do we keep silent often when we need to speak up? We need to look out for one another, not as lording over anyone in particular, but as being concerned for our brethren. Ezekiel chapter 3, 16 through 21 gives us a picture of God's expectations for his people and warning against sin. We need to warn people today of their sin for a couple of different reasons. James chapter 5, 19 through 20 tells us that it will save a soul from death. And Ezekiel 3:18 tells us in the same way, it will save our soul from death. So throwing out that warning about sin may cause someone to rethink their situation. Knowing that sin is the great separator, it will cause them to rethink their situation and repent of those sins and turn away from those things that are contrary to God's will. You know, no one can hide from God. We see this clearly in Genesis chapter 3. Eve couldn't hide from God. Adam couldn't hide from God. You and I cannot hide from God. Adam and Eve realized that they had sinned and wanted to hide from God. It brought shame on them. Many today are trying to hide from God. Some think that they can commit sin, and then in committing that sin, no one knows but themselves. But guess what? God knows. God's going to be the one that enacts the punishment for sin. And you can't get away from him. You can't do it. You may fool me, I may fool you, but we'll never fool God. Many in the day of judgment will cry for the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the wrath of God. That's a scary thought. Sin causes all this. God has a remedy. Jeremiah chapter 23 through 24 gives us this truth, biblical truth. Can anyone hide himself in a secret place? It says, I shall not see him. This is God. I feel heaven and earth. God's everywhere. He knows our secrecy. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 tells us that God knows all things. God loves us, but he sees us, and he gives us a way to deal with those things that are contrary to his will. He's not willing that any should perish. But we need to be focused on repenting of the things that are contrary to his will. So we sing that song, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. There is an all-seeing eye watching us in everything we do. You know what? This truth should make us act a little better. Try to please God a little more. Children generally act better around their parents. This is so true. Children generally act better around their parents. Why? I'll throw that question out there. Why? Well, everyone in this room knows the answer. You know why? Because you were a child once before. You know the answer to this question because you know what you did when your parents weren't around. You felt like you had a little more freedom. But that's not the same way with God. He knows. So here's something else that we need to consider about Genesis chapter 3 that we don't need to be guilty of. Genesis chapter 3, 9 through 13, the blame game started. And we often do the same thing. Don't we often blame someone else when we have failures, when we don't succeed? The first thing we do is blame. This was the, you know, it's an age-old problem that we see in Genesis chapter 3. No one seems to want to take responsibility for their errors. You know, we don't want to take responsibility for our sin. Mankind generally doesn't want to take responsibility for their own sin. This has been true from the very beginning. Adam blamed Eve. He blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. So there the buck was passed. I don't want to take responsibility. You know, sometimes we say it's Adam's fault. We go all the way back to the garden and we say, oh, it was Adam's fault. I did this because of Adam. But you know what? We share in the consequences of Adam's sin, but we all are guilty of our own sin. We all are guilty of our own sin. Until we realize that we are to blame for our own sins, we will never do what it takes to resolve that problem. We have to realize it, and then we have to seek the solution. My friend, the solution is God's Word. There's no wavering from that statement. He gives us all that we need that pertain to life and godliness. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 tells us, we shall give an account for someone else? No, for ourselves. We shall give an account for our own selves on Judgment Day. Matthew 12, 36 through 37, 36 and 37, our words both condemn us and justify us. Words, you know, we talked about words in class this morning. The words that we speak, we have to tame that. We have to control it. We have to exercise good judgment before we speak. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. Our own works will be the basis of how we are rewarded on Judgment Day. Not works of merit. We hit that just a little bit. But works of righteousness. Psalm 119, 172. All thy commandments are righteousness. So when God tells us to do something, it's not by our own merit, but we are exercising saving faith. So that leads us to the promise of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. We know that from Ephesians chapter 1. Genesis chapter 3, 14 through 15, we see the seed of woman. This is a promise. Sin was the problem. Sin caused separation between God and man. Jesus is what we need for that reconciliation. Eve, though man sinned, disobeyed God's commands. He loved man so much that he gave a plan of salvation. Throughout the Old Testament, we see the plan unfolding. So here's this promise, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And then we see this, remember, the Bible's a book about sin. Here comes that plan in action. God knew it before the foundation of the world. He had a plan for man, man's salvation, simply because he loves us. There was a time in the Old Testament until the plan went into effect. It was at a particular perfect time in which God chose, Galatians chapter 4, 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son. Why do we need Jesus? I'm going to say it again, because of sin. Sin will cause us to be eternally separated from God. God sent his Son at a perfect time. God sent his Son to save the obedient before and after the cross. The obedient, you see Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, by faith, by faith, they did something. Satan was going to bruise the heel of Jesus. In other words, give him a minor blow. Jesus was nailed to the cross. Christ, though, was going to bruise the head of Satan. In other words, he was going to give him a severe mortal blow through his resurrection. Christ was going to give the brutal blow to Satan. He came forth from the grave. Our God has given us such a glorious and simple plan. It's very simple. The instructions in the garden, the instruction in the garden was simple. The tree that's in the midst of the garden, don't eat of it. Well, that's pretty simple. But that command was broken. God has given us a glorious, simple plan today. Man tries to help God, and by doing so, falls right into Satan's trap. You know, there are many different perspectives of the truth in the world today that make it a lie because adding or taking away from God's word. We have warning throughout Scripture not to do that. It's so simple. We have to just read the Scriptures, obey the Scriptures, and God will save us. So man tries his best to help God, but guess what? God's given us everything we need. God doesn't need our help. He just needs us to trust and obey him. Punishment comes to those who disobey God. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Punishment was enacted. Eve was punished. Pain in childbirth. Her husband was to rule over her. Adam was punished. He would have to battle thorns and thistles and weeds and till the ground. Food would no longer be provided to him. He had to work for his food. And he had to die and return to the dust from which he was made. Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 through 6, demonstrates how God's reward is fulfilled upon obedience. If then statements are given, if you obey my voice, then the promises will be granted. If we obey, we are rewarded. If we disobey, we are punished. It's that simple. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9, God will punish those who obey not the gospel. I invite you to read that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9, God's going to take vengeance on those who obey not the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4 tells us it is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That is the gospel. How do we obey that? It's very simple. Man distorts it, but it's very simple. Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16, which we've already quoted. Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It's pretty simple. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. We have to repent of those sins that we've committed, and then we have to be immersed into Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So, if today, if you're subject to the invitation, the Lord's invitation, I invite you to come and put on Christ in baptism. It's a call that the scriptures over and over in the New Testament tell us that's how we remedy sin. I don't know why God made it that way, but he did. I don't know why in the garden that God couldn't have just said, yeah, just eat of everything and it'll be fine. But he didn't. He gave man a choice, free will. He gives us a choice and free will to obey him. If you're subject to the invitation, come together as we stand and sing.